Hello, 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 John Mason. How is everybody? Well, the House, dominated by deranged Republicans, has sent to the Senate its bill for the raising of the debt ceiling, which is a pretty routine thing. In fact, three times during the Trump administration, they voted to raise the debt ceiling. Yep, three times. But now that a Democrat is in the White House, then all of a sudden, they fear a big deficit and how it's going to ruin the economy, blah, blah, blah. It's a pattern with Republicans. Their deficits, no big deal. And they also throw in a humongous tax cuts for the wealthy. But when a Democrat is president, be it Clinton or Obama or now Biden, now they fuss about the deficit. And they don't care about whether or not not raising the debt ceiling would cause utter catastrophe economically for the country and for the world. There'd be unemployment, stocks would crash. But do they care? What's going on in their heads? Is it just game playing or are they serious? And these Congress members and senators, they pay so much attention to Wall Street and the corporations and the billionaires. And the corporations are telling them, don't tell them, get it together, guys. Or else it's got to be catastrophe. It's like we're dealing with a bunch of suicidal maniacs who will destroy the economy and themselves with it. Oh, and the federal spending also includes their salaries and their perks. The washrooms and other amenities that go with being a congressperson or a senator. So can they afford that? Losing all those perks and pays? And now it is in the at the Senate. The debt ceiling bill is in the Senate. It has in it the proposed cuts that the Republicans are demanding. Cuts in Social Security, Medicare, veterans benefits, all geared towards low income and working people. Which I personally benefit from, and so do millions of Americans. But do they understand that? That millions of people depend on these programs? Are we expendable to them? They don't care if we get killed from these cuts? My hope is that with the Democrats running the Senate, they'll amend the bill so to cut out all that all those cuts. And send to Biden a clean bill. That's my hope. So let's get on our senators and tell them, pass a clean debt ceiling bill without any of these cuts to things that people benefit from. Always boils, it's the pattern, the old pattern. Low-income people have to bear the brunt of the problems of the economy. Their solution to the Republican solution to all our economic problems, and a few Democrats, is cut back on spending on people, and cut back on regulations that keep corporations in check, and let them do whatever bad things they want. And we're supposed to trust their judgment. Oh yeah, trust their judgment. Like I remember very well the savings and loan collapse in the early 90s, and the Federal Reserve paid $400 billion to clean that up. Also, the payments to the mortgage companies in 2008 after the mortgage collapse. Again, the Federal Reserve stepped in and bailed out the mortgage companies, no strings attached. But do we ever challenge, does the commercial media or mainstream discourse ever challenge what the corporations and billionaire class is doing? Do they ever ask, what's so special about these guys? Are they really such wizards? Can we truly trust the economy with these guys? This, like I said, that's been the pattern. Aim our anger and direction down. Aim our direction down at people on welfare and minorities. They're the problem. But don't look at the corporations or the billionaire class. Don't mention them at all. Even after they're paying off these senators and congresspeople and cabinet members, and as we now know, Supreme Court justices. The halo has gone off the Supreme Court, guys. We treat us this venerable institution that's just so beyond politics. It is not. Trust me, it is not. They're just as corrupt, and I'm not saying all of them, but they can be as corrupt as any crook in a county courthouse. Now I'm thinking about in 1857, in your judicial activism department, the case of Dred Scott. Dred Scott, who was a slave, and for 10 years he worked up the state and federal courts to gain his freedom. And the Dred Scott case finally arrived at the Supreme Court. And the Chief Justice there, Roger B. Taney, was on the southern side, as was President James Buchanan. See, Buchanan knew ahead of time how the court would vote. He knew that they would rule against Dred Scott. And he said, let's happily accept the decision of the Supreme Court as the final word. You know, a last-ditch effort to hoping that this would keep the southern states happy and preserve the Union. And then Taney came up with his infamous ruling that black people were slaves and as slaves, they did not have any rights that a white person was bound to respect. And it failed to preserve the Union. Despite of being catered to constantly and accommodated by doughfaces, which was the name at that time for Northern men who were always trying to appease the Southern men, the Southern states voted to secede from the Union. And all that appeased, we talk about how Chamberlain kept appeasing Hitler at Munich around the Sudetenland. And then Hitler took the entire Czechoslovakian nation. And you always hear about how appeasement never works. Well, here's another example of appeasement. Constantly accommodating the Southern men, and they secede from the Union anyway. And that's what we're up against. To get back on the subject. You know what would cure all this corruption? All these silly shenanigans with around the debt ceiling and these attacks on Social Security and other programs, which we benefit from. It's for us to get out and vote and let them know we do vote and we're not going to give up our right to vote in spite of all these efforts in Republican-dominated legislatures to take away our right to vote. And God forbid what should happen if our rights are taken away. We must get out and vote. And they'll pay attention to that. And we will not rest until we are assured of our rights. And to get to the part, May 16th, a couple Tuesdays from now, is primary election day in Pennsylvania. So wherever the primary election is in your state, register and vote. And let all your elected officials know we're conscious, we're paying attention to them, and we're voting. Okay, that's it for now. And now advertisements. My novel, Soldier of the Cross, is available on Amazon.com. It's the story of David Lucas, a young man who in the 60s, early in the 60s, was a bully and whore chaser and drunk, and lands in trouble in the army. A chaplain visits him in the stockade, and he becomes a born-again Christian, zealously and fanatically trying to be a good Christian man, but with terrible results. Please look up the novel, Soldier of the Cross, on Amazon.com. And also, Hemperific is a lovely little CBD product store located on Snyder Avenue near 15th Street in South Philadelphia. There you'll find some of the finest cannabis-infused products. Flower and candies and gummies and drinks and teas and lip balm and hand sanitizer and dog treats. Look them up, please. And their website is HemperificLLC.com. And also, my beloved career and business coach, Michelle Snow. Michelle is excellent in helping you develop your small business and professional career. Let you know what you're doing right, where you need work, and help you network with other entrepreneurs and professionals to develop your business. Look her up, please. The website is growwithsnow.com. Okay? Okay, I'm all talked out now. For now. But trust me, more is to come. And I bid you all have a good weekend and Shabbat Shalom. Bye.